Bless this message for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, if you want to turn, we're in the book of Romans. We're in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. We're at the 14th verse tonight. That's Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Notice the heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And there's only two things you can serve, and that's it. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. That 19th verse is in essence sanctification. There it is. Read it. For then, when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit, notice it's fruit, had ye when then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, that it doesn't mean rid, it means free. When you were a sinner, you were not free from sin. I mean, you couldn't free yourself. You couldn't do one thing but sin. Now you can sin, but you're free from it. You don't have to obey it as a servant, is what he's saying. But now being, and you are, made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit. It's fruit again. At the holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reason it's good, it's fruit now. He's turned to fruit in the heart. Is in Galatians, you always notice that the work of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Work is always flesh. Fruit is always natural. See, you don't, and can't. You might cultivate fruit, but like berries that feed the bears and the millions of birds, it grows natural. You can cultivate more fruit, but it grows because of what's in the seed. But always in Galatians, when it lists the works of the flesh, that's when you go to works, and it produces nothing but flesh. The fruit grows naturally from the heart. That's what he's saying here. Now going back to verse 14, but I will, where we left off a little, it's yield now. Remember, he said to reckon, to count, to know this. But you can know all of this and not yield. It doesn't matter. You can speak with a tongue of men and angels, which shows you that there's two different languages in men and angels. And angels are different than men, regardless of what the Mormons ever tell you, huh? And if I do, and if I understand all mysteries and have not love, it profits me nothing. So you can know all this and not yield, and you won't produce this fruit. And the first of the fruits of the Spirit, not fruits, but fruit, is love. So you just spin your wheels, don't you? If you don't understand what he's saying, and then yield to it. But verse 13, he says, you got to reckon, then you got to yield by not letting and letting what he's told you here. So he says, neither yield, verse 13, your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, what's your first instrument? It's your mind. That's your first one that you've got to yield. If you don't yield your mind, your hands, your body, and everything else, will never, ever fall into this. That's your first instrument to yield. Let's turn a minute to Philippians, second chapter. Philippians 2:5. Here we go again. Let. Yield. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled. This is his mind. Let this mind humble you. Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look over at the bottom of the 20th verse of this same chapter. No, the 19th. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Not your standing. Their standing was sons, spiritual sons. But not your state. Your state is what you're growing in. Your state of mind. For I have no man like-minded. I can't get anybody that'll have this mind, that'll let this humble mind be in them. It's what he's saying. Who will what? Naturally care for your state. The natural man will never care for you but himself first. The devil, he had it figured out when he told God about Job. He said, skin for skin. A man loves himself first. When it comes right down to the last thing, that guy's going to love himself. That's number one. But he didn't figure on this mind. Oh, he never figured on that new man, did he? What a shock it still must be to him that somebody would think of somebody else first. Well, that's what he's telling you to do. He says, I haven't got any other man. Can you imagine that? All these people that he had wrote to and been with, There's a lot of Christians out there, but they will not take this mind. It's self. It's number one. So back to our text in Romans, he's telling you that you're going to have to start with your member, and the member of your body is this mind. See? And this mind, and what he's saying, the old man, as far as God's concerned, it's gone. See, it's not my old man. Get that. Or men. It's one. One man that sinned. One man that disobeyed God. And that's what he gave you. He gave you the mind that'll disobey God. It'll disobey God when you know exactly what he's told you. I've done it. I've had him one night in the service tell me exactly what would happen to me if I did thus and thus, and I went and did it, and that's exactly what happened to me. Exactly. And if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't be standing here. You see, that is the mind. First. Well, he's saying you've got this in your mind now. But then you're going to have to yield to it. And if your mind does not yield to it, if you do not have this lonely mind, this humble mind that does not please self like the Lord Jesus Christ, you think he was pleasing himself here? To die not only a death, but the death of the cross? You think he felt good? See, and by the way, see, you don't. He died, and for as God's count, that was what, 2,000 years ago? See, you didn't feel a thing there, did you? He felt it all for you. It isn't feeling. You never feel like you died. Because he did all those feelings. See, this is a fact. And the fact is act out. There will be feelings when you realize that. But these people that go around and say, blood's running out of their hands, they're trying to say they're feeling what he felt 2,000 years ago. It ain't a feeling, it's a fact. That's what he's telling you. This is a fact. You reckon with it. You know it's so. And then you yield to it. And then you find out there's going to be some bad feelings. You're going to feel sin in the flesh. And you're going to say, ooh. What's going on here? So that's what he is expressing here. And you have a track back there, Pauline Sanctified. And all the other ways of man to sanctification are all the same because they don't work. This is the only way that works. And they are so mixed up on sanctification. Jesus, in his prayer, he said, I sanctify myself. In the third of John, he said, whom the Father sanctified, or meaning, I'm the one that's going to pay the price and go to the cross. Now, did Jesus have to be sanctified in another way? He didn't have sin in the flesh. So you know that their theory is all mixed up, isn't it? On sanctification and even the meaning of sanctification. So, what we have here is you yield to the fact. And you count with God that as far as he's concerned, everything of Adam and that creation is gone. Okay? And then he'll tell you that you have to, of course, yield to the Spirit. Of course, we'll get over that in the 7th chapter. Now remember, here in the 6th chapter, he's talking mainly about sin, as you can tell. He's trying to tell you about how God took care of sin, and that sin is going to be in your flesh. He gives four places that it dwells. And, of course, it's in the flesh. Four places, but it's the body. That's where it's at. And you won't get rid of it as far as that way until, but you get the victory over it and it don't reign. It's present. And when it's gone, you'll be gone. Remember that. Wouldn't we like to get rid of sin in the flesh or sin in our members and how it's weakened our bodies? That's what he says, because of your infirmities, he's going to say here. What it's done to you. But you believe God that that is the way for him to bring you into something that Adam could have never had. You think of the pleasures that Adam had before the fall. They're pleasures. But that wasn't the fullness of God, what he could give you and what you'll enjoy. And it never would have been. He could never bring out what he was and the fullness that he could give to Adam. See, being born again is death, because it's by death. That's how he was born again, out of death. What's a birth? Out of death. Then he can bring you into all of it. And that's how he does it. But do you believe it? A lot of you, yeah, I know that, I know that, I know that. But then you're going to get up, and he's going to lead you tomorrow. He's going to allow certain things to come to you tomorrow. And the devil is going to ask for you tomorrow. You see, especially you people. And what he's going to say is, say, you can go this far and that far only, and he knows exactly, each and every one of you, how much each and every one of you can stand that temptation. And if you fall, it's because you need to fall. It's because you're like Peter there, and you think it's because you're the one that's strong. Of course, notice what he said. He said to Peter, he says, Peter, the devil's asked for you, and he'll sift everything out of you in a few minutes. You know? But I'd prayed to God, and you just well quit dreaming about winning the big lottery, because God said no to the devil. Huh? See? You're not going to win the lottery. Because I prayed for you, that's why. And when you realize how weak you are, I prayed that your faith, your faith fail not. Peter's going to fail again, but boy, if he finally gives it up in faith, it's over, huh? You can't do nothing without faith. You're going to have a lot of trials, and he's going to allow it. With your faith, after all these things, you say, hey, I'm still headed in the right direction. When he knocked me down, I fell in the right direction. He's the author and finisher of it. And I believe he's going to do it. Well, that's what he's saying here now. You got to yield to all those things that he's going to allow to come into your life. He'll bring you out of it. Has he ever failed you once? You know, even when you wanted to win the lottery, did he allow it? Huh? What do you think Peter would have done? If he'd have won the big lottery, he probably would have gave $10 million to somebody else to feed the sheep. Huh? But he wouldn't have been feeding them. And God knew that. You see that? He's not going to let you be tempted above if you got a heart for him. He knows best. But he's told you this is the way to do it. Notice then, 14. For sin shall not... Now it's the dominion. The dominion. See, he said it four times right down through here. He's not saying you're delivered from sin in the flesh. That can spring up at any time. It can just... And when does it do it? It's when you think you can whip Esau. You know who Esau is, don't you? You young people know who Esau was? He's born first, wasn't he? Came out all hairy. Had to shave the first day. Huh? You don't have to teach Esau anything. A baby. Start lying to you at 2 years old. Sitting there in a high chair and come in there. Why'd you just throw this off here for? Nobody there? I didn't do that. Then they become better liars, huh? They realize that isn't going to work. That you don't have to teach anybody how to lie. Esau. And then Jacob's later, isn't he? But when Jacob finally, out of his Jacob ways and his con ways, had to come back and face Esau, he knew he couldn't whip Esau. He'd learned that. And if you haven't learned that you can't whip Esau, well, how long you been trying to whip Esau? Have you ever won one fight with Esau, if it's that way? Jacob allowed God to do it. God had whipped Esau. And here, I'll read real quick here. Let's go to 7:18. I was going to try to really get done with this tonight. We're going to go through 15, 16, and 17 if we ever get into the seventh chapter. Here Paul is fighting with self. He realizes that sin is in the flesh. He got saved, and being a law keeper, he had tried to keep the law. And if we get into that, we'll find out in 13... Was that which is good made death unto me? Good. Where does sin always come from? Good. That's where it comes from. The garden was good. Where did it come from? Sex is good. But how the sin gets in there? Drink, food, it's good, but oh, how you can abuse it. So he's going to say here, you better know how to use the law. The law, he told Timothy, is good if you use it lawfully. Well, Paul, after he was saved, was going to use it wrongly. He's going to go back and do it. Perfect his own perfect thing. Like, have you any of you ever tried to do that? Huh? And he found out He was in a worse mess than he ever was. As far now, you know, Paul wasn't going out here and getting drunk and stuff when he was wrestling with. This is a type of somebody a Christian that's put themselves back under law. They're going to whip Esau. And what does he say in that 18th verse there? He's got a lot of, you should know, and you got to know this to know this. But finally he says, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Huh? He didn't say we all know there, huh? Because there's a lot of people that think they can whip Esau. They still think they're going to whip that guy. That old one that come out first. You're not going to whip Esau. You got to let God take care of him. And he says, for I know. I came to it. After I was saved and after I started battling and I thought I could get the best of Esau through the law. But then I found out there's not one good thing. Not even one good thing. Not one good thing that dwelleth in me. When I go back to that good thing. And he's talking about the law there in that 13th. That which is good. And if you try to use the law wrongly, two things will happen to you. You'll fall flat on your face, or you'll become self-righteous, and that's the only people that'll be around you are self-righteous people, as he tells them in Galatians. He says, they get to bragging. And he says, the reason that they hate me is because they can't preach it that way when I'm around. That's what he tells them there. He says, they would affect you, but they affect you wrongly. And that's what you'll turn out to be if you don't go to grips with this. For sin shall, it don't have to have the dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. The minute you go to the law, you're no longer under grace, and God can't work on your behalf. He's not working on Esau no more. He'll let you try to take care of that. What then? Shall we sin because, and now we went over that in the first two verses. Paul had that thrown up in his face. You know that all the time. Just because we can't die, just because we cannot really leave that realm of death, shall we go out and sin? And we're not under any of those laws, but under grace? God forbid. And he'll say when he starts 8:1, there's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ. You can't be judged that way. See? You can't be kicked out of the realm of grace, but you sure cannot grow in that realm. And your state will show it. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or the way, or obedience into righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. See, you didn't ever have a choice. Now you have a choice. But ye have obeyed from the heart. You were born again. You have a heart for God. You never had a heart. See, the sinner, he's out there in that realm. He enjoys that realm. That's his, he told his brothers, the world can't hate you, it hates me. It loves its own. That's before they got saved, when he was going up. He said, they don't hate you. I'm a guy over here in this other realm. In John 3, that's what he says. He said, they won't come. He's talking about, actually, he's talking about coming into the Word. And he says they won't come to the light because they love darkness. That's their realm. They love that. So, you were over there. And you can't love that. You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll just become heavier hearted and heavier hearted. Okay? Any child of God that does. Being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. That's what happened to you. So how can you fit over there when you was a slave of sin? In other words, you love God. When we get over there, if we ever do, when Paul's fighting and showing when he's fighting, he says that, I love the law. And that which I hate, I do. Of course, what he was under was he was trying to do the law on his own. He put himself back under law. But he had that life where he loved God and wanted to do what God wanted him to do. But he had to find the way. And the way was not through the law. It was to stay over here in the grace realm. The minute you start being a servant, you got to do it all. Back in the fifth chapter, we read that he that puts him under, puts himself under a curse. Because you can't do it. And as far as God's concerned, you think you're going to con him. Well, you're not. He's got his way of doing it, and he will do it. Everything is, he's got to do it. You ought to be able to figure that. How can you have any glory unless he gives you the glory, and a glory that you can't dream of? But he's got to do it. How could we do anything? Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. Huh? I do it all. And believe me, you'll be happy when he does it all. He can do a lot better with it than you can. And he said, there's one thing. You either serve sin, and notice it's not sins. He's talking about that nature. You're either going to go back and dump yourself there, or this righteous life. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now realize that sin has made that body weak. And it'll get weaker. And it'll get weaker. And it'll get weaker. And you'll have sin in the flesh until you're changed or until you die. See, make up your mind to that. What are you going to do with the years between there? Are you going to be the servant? Now, you're going to be a servant. You're going to serve. And notice, we tried to bring out, it's because of love. Especially over in the seventh chapter. Now, he'll bring out law in the seventh chapter. But the reason he brings out law in the seventh chapter is because one of the husbands is in that realm. And law has a jurisdiction over one of the husbands. So he's got to explain that which he does. But as far as we're concerned, we serve this because, and if he puts that love in there, you'll do it. You don't think... You do know that Jesus, we just read, when he stepped down there, he loved you, didn't he? Huh? You can have that love, he says, to hold and yield your members servants to uncleanness. I want to get through with this. Never to iniquity and to iniquity. Well, you know what sin does. I'm just going to do a little something like David said. So he sends for her and ends up murdering her husband, huh? See, that's what he's saying. It just gets bigger and bigger. Well, he says the same thing. You yield to the Spirit, it just has more fruit and more fruit of the Spirit. If you yield to what you know, righteousness and to holiness. For when we, I'm going to go over, I could bring a lot more out there, but I want to get through this. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Did you know that you never did one thing that God said was righteous? Not one act. And many of you have heard my dad say about when he realized that from the first. He thought, I never did one thing right. But now being made free from sin, you become the servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life that you can't even dream of. The pleasures that will go on forever and ever. But you'll get the full pleasures. Adam could have never got the full pleasures. God had pleasures through his son that Adam would have never got. Believe him. These pleasures are nothing. Well, they're wonderful. It was God's creation. But they're nothing compared to what he's got waiting for you. And get that 23rd verse. For the wages. Oh, the wages and the wages of that. Of sin is death. In other words, it's work, isn't it? Wages is work. You going to try to work? Or are you going to take a free gift? What it is. If you're going to go back and try to work, if you're going to put yourself under law, any law, you get your wages. But remember, he that offendeth in one offendeth in all. The law ain't 10, it's 1. So, it'll die. It's death. You won't die as far as a sinner and for your sin and the penalty that way. But the gift, you don't work for a gift. You don't work for the gift of the Spirit, do you? You just yield to it, and it produces a righteous life that produces. The gift is all these beautiful fruits in your life. Could have you ever bought that? Could have you ever worked enough to have got just the first three? Love, joy, peace. Huh? That's the gift of the Spirit. This, and it's true love. It's His love. It isn't you trying to love and you're short every time. It's a gift. and you can't get it any other way than letting this mind be in you. The humble mind that denies self and yields to the Spirit. Let's stand.